Blog Talk Radio.
Bringing you excellent entertainment from the king of DC media. Here's the Inside Acting Radio Show.
On my dear listeners, on this warm July night, it is I, your host on the East Coast, the man with many a fan, the all-entertaining KDOC, that's King of DC Media. Welcome to another fantabulous episode of the Inside Acting Radio Show, brought to you by DC Actors Examiner, where you will find many informative articles on the acting game. Yes, indeed, yes, indeed. You can find it by Googling DC Actors Examiner. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Absolutely. And now, tomorrow night, I will have on Wesley Inslee and Dylan Hintz. And they both appeared on the new hit show on AMC TV called Turn, about the Revolutionary War. That'll be my 4th of July special. We're going to have old Ben Franklin himself, a.k.a. impersonator Barry Stevens. It's going to be revolutionary, folks. I guarantee. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Absolutely. By the way, you should be following me on Facebook at handle /William.T.Tao and Twitter /InsideOnTheBarActing. Okay, I've got a couple of announcements to put out there. Have you got a film or a TV project you want to raise money for? Kickstarter, Indiegogo. I can announce it right here on the show. Did you know that? For details, you can contact me at william400@yahoo.com. Also, let me know that you actors out there, you need headshots. Look no further than Blue Artist Agency, They offer everything from headshots, publicity, videography, and much, much more. To contact them, go to www.blue-artist.com and tell them Inside Acting sent you. So tonight, folks, we have, backed by popular demand, a good friend to the show, the world's greatest extra, Jesse Hayman. Now, in case you've been living on Mars the last year and a half, Jesse is one of the most prolific character actors in the business right now. He's famous for many different roles, and his most famous role is kissing supermodel Barbara Feli in a Super Bowl GoDaddy ad last year. Jesse Hayman is known as not only the world's greatest extra, but also that guy. He's appeared in over 75 films and commercials. You've probably seen him in The Social Network, Spider-Man Old School, and The Big Bang Theory, and commercials for Citibank and Volkswagen. And he's very, very prolific. And he was born in Boston, moved to Austin, Texas, and then to Hollywood back in 2000. Oh, man, he's worked with Tom Hanks, Seth Rogen, Zac Efron, and director Michael Bay. Now, joining Jesse tonight will be Diana Zolik Koffer, producer of Jesse's soon-to-be short film, Smoolie the Death Watcher. Diana began her career in Washington, D.C. and New York. She produced Innocent Flesh in Los Angeles and off-Broadway. The show was nominated for two NAACP 2013 Theater Awards. And Daya has also produced several shorts and a web series, including Q, The Secret Agent Next Door, among many others. So let me go ahead and bring them on in. Give me a second here. Bring them on in. Hey, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you? How's everything?
Doing great. How are you?
That's good. That's good. That's good. Thanks for joining me tonight. I think it's going to be a really great show. So now, Jesse, I want you to talk a little bit about what's going on with Shmooly the Death Watcher.
Well, Shmooly the Death Watcher is this great short about me. I play Shmooly, who is in an Orthodox Jewish family, and my uncle is usually in charge of the task, but on this night I get tasked with watching a body overnight at a mortuary. It's Jewish tradition called a Shomer, Jewish tradition believes that the soul stays with the body until it's buried, and stays by the coffin and stays by, the body. And so someone needs to be there to keep the soul company, to protect it. And it's my job to do that. So I get to sit in the mortuary overnight and watch this body. And it sounds, a little spooky, but it's actually a very cool Jewish tradition and something that is very respectful to the dead. Now, then there's these guys that come in and they want to bury their own bodies, so to speak, and I have to stop them and protect that body as well. So I end up protecting many bodies and have a great time. It's a dark comedy, but it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's basically like Home Alone in a mortuary. that's where the comedy aspect of it comes out. And Teresa Gallagher wrote a really great script with this that pays great respect to the Jewish tradition, but at the same time has that high concept and comedy element to it.
Yeah, it sounds like it's like a mix, a little bit of everything there, because it's like, you got comedy, you got Jewish tradition, you have everything kind of thrown all together like that.
Mhm. Yeah, have you ever seen the movie Night Shift? It's kind of like Home Alone and Night Shift, like mixed together without the parties.
Home Alone and Night Shift. Night Shift was a great movie. I haven't seen it in like 30-some years, but that was a great movie.
Right.
and Jesse gets to be the hero. He's the star.
Yeah.
He's our hero.
this is something I've been building for in my career. Like, I've been, I start with an extra, and I've done bit parts in here and there, and then I did, the commercial, which is huge for me. And now I'm starting to get offers for leading roles. And one of the first offers that came in for me to play a leading part was for Shmooly. And
leading role.
I did not even have to audition. They just offered it to me, and that was amazing.
When Teresa presented the project to me, she was in the early phase of writing it, and I was about to leave L.A. to go to New Orleans to do some pre-setup for another project that I'm producing, and she told me the concept, and I said to her, when you're done with it, please send it to me. Let me be the first person to read it, and I read it and fell in love with it, and immediately, we both agreed that Jesse was our Shmooly. There was just something about him, and it's like almost like that Shmooly character jumped off the page as soon as I said, hey, what about Jesse for that role? And she was like, oh, my God, yes, fantastic. And so we went straight to his people and made an offer. And, and we didn't even think about a backup. We were hoping that he would be available and say yes, and he did.
Yeah, yeah, Jesse looks kind of like a Schmooley. I mean, there's something that Schmooley and Jesse Hayman, for some reason, it's like I could see Schmooley, the equal sign, and Jesse Hayman. It's just something. As soon as I saw the poster for the movie, I was like, wow, that's like, it really matches.
It's really an opportunity to play a way of heroes, but sort of in a different tone, because all the people that I'm protecting are already dead. So, you know, it's a great twist to the hero story. It's nice to know that there's someone there to protect you after you go, you know?
Yeah, I mean, somebody to watch after you. I certainly can relate to that. So now, Diana,
we're shooting at this beautiful mortuary in Altadena, California. We went there to shoot the Kickstarter video. I don't know if you've seen that, but it's just a beautiful setting, very respectful. It's a real mortuary and it's a real morgue set that they have there. I mean, it's just very eerie, but it's also very respectful and just. Once you walk in there, you think, well, you know, if I have to get laid to rest somewhere, this is pretty nice, you know.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to actually watch the video, but I did see, like, the pictures there. It looks very, very stately, very, kind of creepy, but I guess it'll be creepy in a funny kind of way.
Beautiful location. And it's a location that's been used and shot in countless movies and television show. And the mortuary that they have there is actually a dedicated set. House shot there, Dexter, 6 Feet Under. So we were very, very fortunate that we got this location to shoot our movie as well.
And what's cool is we'll have Superman watching over our heads while we're shooting. Isn't the former actor who played Superman there?
Yes, the original Superman from the TV show, George Reeves, is actually interned there.
Yeah.
So we have Superman watching over our superhero, Schmooley.
Wow, I did not know that. It's a bit of trivia there, huh?
Yeah, it's a beautiful place. It's been around since the 1800s, and it's the same family-owned and operated facility, and they're very respectful. They have a lot of soldiers, actually, from the Civil War who moved west, and they're buried there, too. So it's very prestigious, well-kept location, and it's so gorgeous, and there's so many sides of this location that sometimes you don't even realize that it's been used in a movie as a campus, like a college campus, because it's that beautiful. Like I said, we're very fortunate that we were able to get this location, and as soon as our DP, Billstrom, and our director, Michael Ray Escamilla, soon as we all drove up there for our first location scouting, they fell in love. And, you know, Teresa and I, as producers, like the fact that, you know, our director is happy and he's like, oh, my God, we got to get this location. We move mountains to make sure we can get this done and get him the location that he wants.
Yeah, that could really set the mood for a film. I mean, the location, it's so much better than a set. I mean, it's real. Mm-hmm. It's a practical location, and it's real, and it brings that atmosphere to it.
It's so real that we have to shoot our scenes at night because it's actually working, you know, mortuary. We can't disturb their services during the day, so we have to do all our scenes at night.
Wow. Yeah. That helps you get in the mood for your role, I bet.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. How long is this film going to be?
It's a short film, the preliminary film right now. It's a short film, and that's what our Kickstarter campaign is for, the short film, and happily, we're at 120% of our Kickstarter goal, so we're so excited about that, and we still have, like, 17 days to go to get to a stretch goal. Ultimately, we're going to also produce this as a feature. So we're already working, and Teresa's already working on developing that script towards Shmooly, the feature.
Yeah.
But we're going to use the short film sort of as that launching pad, buzz creator, get into some festivals, you know, and just promote the heck out of it.
So this this is going to be a cover franchise for me, I think.
Yeah, we'll have Shmooly in space next.
Yeah.
Shmooly
okay.
meets the alien.
Sounds like a little Ghostbusters type deal or something like that. Anything
the sky's the limit.
Is there? Huh?
Is the sky's the limit with Shmooly? Because honestly, it's such a fun character and concept, and I think that's why everyone is so excited by our entire crew and cast. I mean, we were able to get some pretty awesome people to share the screen with Jesse because of the concept for it. For instance, Mike Kelly, who's from Mad Men and CSI, and Mike Mosley from The Proposal and 27 Dresses, and David Barrera, who's currently on the new hit show The Bridge, and he's been on Grimm and CSI and 24. You know, all of them just love Teresa, but they also loved the concept of the story because there is so much there that we can take it to another level very easily.
Yeah, that's when you have a cast like that, that really helps too. That's going to bring a lot of cachet to it. So you're saying that it's going to be a feature. What's the schedule? So is it something we can hopefully see within maybe a full feature in like a couple years or what?
That's what we're hoping for. That's our goal, to basically lay down an amazing short film, which is going to be the calling card for Shmooly, the feature, and then just take it from there, you know, and as long as Jesse's with us for this ride.
Yeah, I'm aboard for whatever.
Yeah. Fantastic. I mean, I can see some heavy
and, you know,
hitters in right there.
Yeah. I don't know, William, when I was on last year, I think I was talking about my documentary that's being made around me. They're going to come and shoot me while we're shooting the short film in August, and I think that might be close to like when we're going to be wrapping up the filming of the documentary. We're getting very close to having a full having the documentary in wrapped up, so that, and then next year it's going to start making the rounds at festivals.
Oh, okay.
We feel very fortunate that that the filmmakers from the documentary are willing to collaborate. It's like a win-win for everybody, and it's going to be some amazing footage of Jesse, even some pre-production footage of him, you know, preparing for the role and, you know, preparing with these two great stunt coordinators, you know, preparing for his Shmooly role. And
I have a couple of really great stunts, and I'm really looking forward to actually doing the stunts.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, it feels like the you know, that Jesse Hayman, the world greatest extra documentary, is going to basically be like a wonderful you know, like collaborator with this for us, and we're also excited about that film as well, because we got to see some of the like what they wanted to do with that film based also from their Kickstarter campaign as well. So
there's some about stunts and Jesse Hayman that sort of isn't, maybe it makes me laugh for some I don't know. I don't know if it's any place for it's
you know,
the
stunts that I'm doing are kind of like physical comedy. You know, I get tripped over by something that you wouldn't expect me to get tripped over, and I have to do a lot of carrying around. You know, in order to protect these bodies, you know, the bodies weigh something. I got to, like, protect, you know, carry them around and take them upstairs and run around with them. And then, like, there's, you know, we're hiding inside coffins in order to hide from the henchmen. And so there's a lot of just, like, really cool scenes that I'm looking forward to shooting. I'm sure I'll get to spend for many hours just sitting in a coffin.
I don't know. That would creep some people out, though.
Oh, I know. It would probably freak me out. But you know, I know I'm be surrounded by people that are supporting me, and it's for a good cause. So I'll give it my best.
Yeah. So Diana, I heard that Smooley the Death Watcher is funded over 117% on Kickstarter.
Actually,
how did you help make that happen?
We're at 120 now.
Wow.
I mean, we are less than $900 away from hitting a goal of 10,000. You know, our stretch goal is 12,000. And we hit our main initial goal that got us funded basically within 17 days of the campaign. And I have to say, it's because everyone is passionate about this project and have, you know, within our own team have promoted it. Our associate producers, Corey Mishak and Rob Nelson, have, you know, just been charging forward with it. Teresa and I. And also we've been getting a lot of supporters and from all over the world because they love Jesse. You know, they want to see Jesse succeed. And even within our own friends and families and collaborators, they want to see us succeed too. So it's been a wonderful ride. And I've, like, you know, when you start something like this, you're always a little like, oh, my God, please let somebody donate a dollar. Please, please, please. And our first donation was $500. You know, we're like,
yeah.
Yes. And it just kept growing and growing from there.
Yeah, because I know you have a background in marketing. So, I mean, what did you do anything specific to position this film out there? Because I'm really fascinated. Anytime, so I pop my call with anybody that can raise that kind of money on Kickstarter. You know.
Thanks. Well, like Teresa and I have been like really committed to getting this done. And yes, I did use my marketing background to try to make sure that our video was something quirky and fun, showed a lot of personality. You know, our DP, he's such an amazing cinematographer that he was able to capture all of these great moments. I mean, honestly, Bo is actually, he was shortlisted for an Academy Award for his work on a project that he did for his home country. So, and that year, his project is the one that was chosen to represent his home country. So, you know, so he had a keen eye for exactly what Teresa and I wanted and needed to get out quickly for this video and campaign, because you don't have a lot of time to get people's attention. You know, you got to just get them just a little bit of flavor of what to expect, and then the rest of it is the integrity of what you can explain to them about the project, what the money's for, why it's important, you know, your background, the people that are associated with it. And then after we had that laid out, and we had amazing photography from our different location scouting to give people a flavor of what our working set looks like, we then basically charged and canvas. We, you know, for Kickstarter, that personal touch is important. You know, people like to feel like they're a part of what you're doing, especially those that are encouraged by you or care about you. You go to those people first, you know, and you don't make them feel like they're one of the masses. You know, so it's a lot of initial personal emails, you know, and people who've been following your career that know that you're interested in doing, you know, really interesting projects that has, you know, something to say, you know, and they feel like their money's going to go to something great. And, you know, of course, with, I would say with Kickstarter, some people like to start with, like, a donation set at, you know, at a certain amount, but you can't, I believe that you should have that button on there for somebody who's going to give a dollar, you know, because most people they're not going to give a dollar, you know, but every single dollar counts. So it's that thing of making them feel like they matter. And then we canvassed our Facebook network. We canvassed our people who also aren't on Facebook.
Can I say, I think, you know, a lot of it probably came from just friends of mine and fans of mine and people that have been following me throughout my whole career and have just been, like, on board with me from the get-go and just been interested in, like, getting me to the next stage. Everybody who's, like, my fans on Facebook or my followers on Twitter, they keep saying, like, when are you going to get, you know, the big part? When are you going to get this, when you get to talk and have, like, a prominent role in something? All this. We said right out from the Kickstarter video that this is the best opportunity I can have at having a leading role or having a name in Hollywood that people remember besides for, you know, kissing Bar Raphael or besides for, like, you know, the world's greatest extra is nice, but it is nice to become just a regular name that people turn to for certain types of roles. And this role is great because it really is. I mean, I get to be Shmuley, but I also get to be me within the role, you know. And I think there's a lot of my own heart is within Shmuley. Like I feel like when you go into this like when we're working on the mortuary, it's like it's so peaceful, it's so respectful, and I feel like, you know, it's nice for them. If you believe in people being there to visit themselves, like, I think it's a great, great privilege for us to go film in this amazing place.
And one of the great things
I consider you a character actor. I really do consider you a character actor. And I have another question to ask you, but I'm going to let Dinah jump in. Dinah?
I was going to say, one of the great things about Jesse is the fact that he is a partner in this. You know, sometimes you get actors who are at a certain point of their career or trying to jumpstart their career to the next level. They kind of do that sit and wait. You know, it's like
that
sit and wait. You do all the work, you know, and then they're like, oh, whatever. It's like, oh, I'll be there when you're ready for me to. And Jesse, from day one, has basically jumped in full force, and even in some of the areas of crewing up, you know, like people mm-hmm. that he's worked with before and he knows, and, you know, we're all, like, on this career trajectory with ourselves, so he's like, oh, what about, you know, let's crew up with this person, you know, for set design and costuming and so forth. So it's been a collaborative effort. And I think also because he takes that focus in his career, those are the people, the hard workers are the ones that make it. You know, the hard workers like the Brad Pitts and the Mark Wahlberg, you know, those types of producers. But seriously, and the Zach Braffs. You know, those are the ones that make it because they're not waiting for an opportunity. They're making it and creating it themselves. And in this case, we have created an opportunity for him, but he's as much of a creator in this opportunity as we are. And so we're very fortunate for that.
Well said.
Yeah.
It's and true.
So now, Jesse, the question I was going to ask you is, growing up in Boston and just from your personal experience, what's some personal experiences and remembrances that you have? What among those have mm-hmm. you brought to this character?
Well, I mean, I think we've all dealt with, losing someone in your family. I recently lost a grandfather. It's part of life. He's in a better place now, you know. But I just went through going to the cemetery and everybody showing up in like the nice, you know, black suits and going to a ceremony, and then like we all go have a dinner, you know. And it's like I was thinking, like, you know, if you know why was he, you know, chosen to be laid to rest like in a cemetery rather than like a mausoleum or like one of mortuary like we're filming at. But it's also, you know, it's you know, my personal experience of dealing with, you know, loss. I've had a few losses in my life. I have had an ex-roommate of mine a couple years ago. He passed away suddenly, and so I mean I've dealt with, you know, a lot of, you know, personal just grief and sadness, and it's nice to know that there's places and there's these traditions in place that make sure that the souls feel loved even if you're not there. Like there's someone there watching them, you know, all overnight, you know. And just, you know, I don't know, from Boston, but just, you know, my traditions of growing up, at, you know, in a Jewish family, you know, or going to temple, or going to, going to synagogue, going to Sunday school, and the traditions, and, the going to people's bar mitzvahs, and the whole tradition of just Hanukkah, and I have to relearn some Hebrew for this part because there's these prayers that I need to do within the script, and like they're going to provide an advisor for me so I can get it right, because I want to make sure I get it right, that I'm not doing anything disrespectful to the Jewish tradition or to the religion that I'm working on, we're portraying in this film. Even during the trailer, I was wearing traditional Orthodox clothing, and we got like comments saying that like I was wearing it wrong. So I like want to make sure that we get all that right, you know.
Yeah, a lot of rules there. Yeah. Uh huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a religious advisor, Joshua Gabe, and he has been working with Teresa from the very beginning. In regards to Shmuley's role, and he's going to get a chance to work Jesse, and he's the one who provided us with the religious, the Jewish garb, the yarmulke, and also the tassels that's part of Shmuley's costume, because we want to make sure we get everything, the little details, right. And so Josh has been with us from the very beginning as well.
Yeah, that's good to have that accuracy. So, you know, Jesse, it seemed like you got a kind of a death theme going on there, because I saw on IMDb you did something called Obituaries.
Yes, Obituaries was another short film I did. It was a UCLA student film, directed by a director named Ryan Moody. It was produced by James Franco, and James Franco is actually the narrator in it. And I play a victim of a school shooting, which is kind of dark.
Oh, no.
It's very a poignant type of film. It's like a monologue of this guy who's like talking about all these kids and like who they were, what their lives were before this moment, even the killer himself, and like, you know, just, and how, like, you know, we're so kind of take it all for granted now, because we, like, these things happen so often now, and it's a very, you know, moving but makes you think type of a dark story. Not really of a much. There's not a lot there, but it's very thought provoking, and we did a real good job with it. I recently got to see it, and it was very well done, and it's very. It's also going to get taken around to festivals. You know, a lot of young directors, you know, and you don't know exactly what to expect from them, but it's always nice to learn, to see them in action and see what they can do and what they can make. And they're going to be like, you know, the next up-and-coming stars, these kids from UCLA and, you know, USC, and they got the, you know, they're so close to the industry here, so they'll jump right into it, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, Jesse, I'm ready to see you with, I mean, there's names out there. I mean, there's James Franco. I mean, there's Rogan. There's Jonah Hill. There's Michael Cera. Duke Clark.
Right.
I mean, we got to get you. I'm just waiting to see Jesse Hayman in film with one of those guys.
Well, you know, that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that Shmooley is something that's going to help to brand me as an actor.
Yeah.
You know, put my name out there. Put my how I am out there, and then they're going to like Teresa and Danny here. They're going to start writing the roles for me. You know, playing. Characters are probably already written. They just haven't found me yet, and this is the type of project that'll bring me to them on a silver platter or a silver screen, at least.
Well, Jesse will be our muse. You know, this is something also about our writer producer Teresa Gallagher. You know, she's a working actress from both New York and L.A., and she's been, you know, rated as L.A.'s, her play, Feeding the Monkey, was rated as one of L.A.'s top 10 best plays the year that it was produced. And so she has, I think, honestly, with Jesse, I think she's found her muse. So, you know, something tells me, you know, from your ear, from your mouth to God's ears, like, you know, this collaboration is only just beginning. And I mean, Teresa is, I mean, her stuff is really funny and topical and social. And she even, like, you know, part of that whole dark comedy thing, she was one of the series regulars on the old soap opera Passions. You know, and that soap opera had a very huge cult following. So she's good at what she does.
Yeah,
it sounds like it. And it's funny when you said Jesse as a muse. I mean, that muse, I mean, that's, yeah, I like that idea.
Well, I need someone like that. I need, you know, if Judd Apatow is going to start calling me yet, so I need someone like Teresa to start, like, you know, sending me out there in any role that she sees that I'm fit for, you know?
And those are usually the best ones. Those are usually the star-making roles, the ones where you couldn't imagine any other actor doing it, or it was written specifically for an actor, you know. You know, speaking of Judd Apatow, you know, like his comedy mafia group, you know, like they are on par, and you couldn't imagine anybody else in those roles, you know. Like,
right.
I mean, Seth Rogen, you know, his career – got made from Knocked Up, you know,
right.
And also, I can't think of the Asian actor right now, but who played the doctor in Knocked Up. I mean, look at where his career has gone with the Hangover movies and so forth. So it's
right.
Very possible.
Yeah. And then I think Apatow himself, he was a comedian. And he used to room with the comedian, what's the other guy, name escapes me, but he was a comedian on the road for many, many years, and he just started writing, and he had Freaks and Geeks, and then he had, next thing you know, he had a 40-year-old virgin.
I often wonder if I had come out to LA a couple of years earlier than when I did, if I would have been able to get into Freaks and Geeks, like, that might have been, you know, something that I just missed, something like that. But, you know, it's all right. I'm making my own name, you know, I've made my own way into the stardom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like almost like that old spiritual saying, that which is for you will not pass by you. So your time is here. Your time is perfect,
uh-huh.
Jesse.
My time is now, yes.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah, I believe that. I definitely believe that. And sometimes you just got to blaze your own trail. It's not about necessarily latching onto a coattail. Sometimes it's just you have your own path, your own that God has put there.
Absolutely,
for you. You gotta,
yeah.
Yeah, you just gotta blaze that trail.
Yeah, absolutely. I got my chaps on and ready to go. Blazing through.
So, Justin, I'm looking at, just look at your career the last year and a half since the Super Bowl ad. I mean, you seem like you're kissing everybody. I even see a picture on here on you kissing Jay Leno. I mean,
oh,
it's
yeah.
funny. My wife said she wants to kiss you. I think she has a crush. I mean, when's the next time?
He's a great kisser.
When's the next time we're going to see you kiss a supermodel?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't have, you know, it's not something you always plan from the get-go. I just, you know, I don't know, you know, maybe someone else will come up with a commercial where I could do that. Because I've kind of been kind of shy, not shying away, but, I had this, like, whirlwind media tour after the GoDaddy. I would have burnt out from all the interviews and all the fun that I was having, but it's, well, probably soon, and probably, I don't know who it'll be, but, you know, I'm sure, you know, pretty soon you'll see me on some paparazzi or something caught picture of some supermodel, but I don't know, hopefully one of these days they'll consider that I'm the supermodel that someone else is kissing, you know? I'll be the superstar kissing somebody. You know?
Right. And, you know, it's funny because you do a role like that, and it's sort of like you don't want to be this one-trick pony. I mean, you get into this thing where there was a guy, I can't remember his name. There was a guy years ago, his whole shtick was you could talk a million miles an hour. It was like, you know, it was like you would, you know, like
yeah,
a fine
yeah.
print at the end
guy,
of yeah.
the guy from the... You mean the guy FedEx from the Micro Machines ad and the guy who could do those New York advertisements, right?
Yeah,
and
that
he used
guy.
To do the
yeah,
car
yeah, yeah,
commercials
yeah.
where he would give you all of the details about the car really, really fast. Yeah,
right, yeah. So, I mean, you could get, I mean, it's a living, but, I mean, it is what it is. It is what it is, and it's
exactly.
working is better than not working, but, you know, hey. You don't want to be typecast.
Well, but it's not bad for me to be typecast because I get to play me all the time.
Well, that's true.
See, lemons, lemonade.
Yeah, well, that's what you got to do. That's what you got to do.
You got to roll with the punches. You know, you got all the cliches.
Well, that's true.
On. Pay your dues and, you know, say Mr. and Mrs. and respect people you're working with, and know that you're not the only one getting up at 6 a.m. to go to work that day. You know, everyone that's on the crew has got their own agendas, but we're all going towards the same goal of making a successful project, and I think Shmooly is going to be a really successful project, and I think it's going to lead to bigger success for all of us in the future.
Absolutely. Real talk. So now, Jesse, What advice would you have for performers out there who want to follow their dreams?
I mean, just do it. Like, it sounds corny, but, I mean, if you have a dream and you want to see it through, you, it's all up to you and your what it takes to get that done. I have a friend on Facebook, and she wants to be an opera singer, and I'm telling her she's got to go find auditions and do everything she can to say she wants to do it, and so I'm waiting for someone to, you know, she could post her videos on YouTube, but, you know, like everybody's doing that. You've got to put yourself out there and really take a chance at what you want to go after. Do everything possible. Nothing is out of reach as long as you go for it.
Yeah, you have to have action. I mean, nothing happens until something moves, really. You know, that's
yeah,
kind of
absolutely.
The way
I
see
it. You know, it's really simple. Like, you know, my career, I started off, like, from the very bottom. You know, I started off doing extra work, which for a lot of actors is not, you know, to the Brad Pitts and the Tom Cruise of the world, that's, you know, we're nothing to them, but except, I mean, you know, we matter to them in when they're in the shots with us, but when they get to go home early, we have to stay there for like another 3 or 4 hours, you know, picking up the shots. So, I mean, it's the bottom rung of the industry, and I'm starting to get like higher and higher up in the ladder. You know, one of these days I'm going to get to a point where I may be afraid of heights, or it may be, you know, I've got to have the confidence to keep going, you know. You know, it's and so the same thing goes with anybody for any career. You know, whatever it is you want to do. If you want to be an astronaut, you know, go to space camp. It sounds silly, but that's where you gotta go.
That's,
you know,
right. The diet. Go ahead.
No, then. Go ahead.
Is that it?
Yeah. Go ahead.
After you, sir. It happens sometimes. It's okay. It happens. It happens. We just keep rolling, folks. We just keep rolling. Okay, Diana, so how would you answer that question?
I would answer it like, if you want to do something, find a way to do it. If you want to write, write. I get that question a lot. People like, oh, how do I write a script? And I say, write a script. You know, don't worry about the mechanics. Get the story out. Do it. If you want to, like, whatever your dreams are, because we are a world of dreamers. You know, sometimes
yeah.
You see that person who's working behind the glass at the bank, or, you know, at the supermarket. You know, some of them might be, like, very happy and satisfied with, you know, that job, but there are some people also that are like, oh, I wish I had done this, or I wish I had done that. Just do it. That's why there's so many doctors doing community theater, you know, because they want to act or they want to write. I say just go for it. Just it's there for a reason, and if you might be denying the world something fantastic or someone fantastic, and the hardest part about it is that first time you do it. You know, that first time you stand in line for an open call. You know, you're all excited from the buzz of the people that are around you, but when you get into that room with the
yeah.
casting directors, you might get nervous, but that's okay, because guess what? You did it. You know, you did it.
That's
and
right.
Then the other thing, too, is once you've done it, you've done that moment, let it go and find
yeah.
the next one.
Yeah, and
I would
add to that. She was talking about getting in the room, and I think I've been told this by many acting teachers, and I see it as truth. You want to not, when you go into like an audition room, and you want to book the room. You don't want to book the part. I mean, it'd be great to book the part, but you want to book the room, which means you want them to keep bringing back for
right.
as much as it, you know, and as long as they keep bringing back, eventually they're going to write a role, or they're going to find a role that's for you and only you, and it'll be a snap, and you'll get it. I'm someone who, I don't believe that karma exists in this business. I'm not sure that karma is a real thing. I think people that believe in stuff like karma and stuff, I mean, it's a nice idea, but they're kind of just waiting for things to happen. They have to make it happen to themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the good thing about
yeah.
Jesse mentioning booking the room.
You have to book the room. I think that's true. Now, Diane, I want you to expand on writing. So I know you're a writer. So what are you writing right now?
I am writing, I've actually finished writing a feature film that we're going to be setting up to shoot, hopefully out of New Orleans. It's called Foo, F-U, A Love Story in Reverse. And it's another one of those dynamic cross-cultural stories between an African-American woman and a Chinese firefighter. Hello. Talk about setting up the comedy there. And so far, you know, I've had, like, quite a few people say, you know, you're 2 years ahead of that curve because, you know, there's a lot going on right now between Hollywood and China. And a lot of it also is that they're looking for stories, not just the big car chase and sequels, but they're looking for really good romantic comedies and family dramas. So I feel, you know, very fortunate that this film will fill that gap.
Absolutely.
You know what's
Absolutely.
Funny about you? You're filming a lot of your projects in New Orleans, and what's funny is, like, one of the guys, when I first getting started as an extra, my first stop was to stop at Central Casting and sign up at Central Casting. And one of the guys that was at Central Casting, his name was Adam. He was one who put me in, like, Big Bang Theory and a bunch of other shows. He just recently moved to New Orleans to start open the Central Casting in New Orleans. So I bet you're going to be, like, getting extras from New Orleans from him. And it's just a circle of life. It's like, you know, a small world we live in, that kind of thing, you know. And if anyone is listening to this podcast, this blog in New Orleans, and you want to be an extra, you want to do what I do, just go sign up with Adam at Central Casting New Orleans, and he'll get you started, and that's all that it takes. Just sign up
that's
for
right.
it, and you
shout
can,
out to Adam,
show up
New
for
Orleans.
mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah.
So now, Jesse, you were ranked third on a list of an IMDb, a list of famous character actors. I think the first guy, James
Reborn.
I think
I was ranked sixth.
Six? Okay. Well, I was looking tonight. You were like third, James Cromwell,
oh, wow.
and then you were right after James Cromwell. It's like,
yeah,
wow. So now, are you content being just a character actor, or do you see yourself being a movie star?
No, I mean, it's a great honor to be called a character actor. That list, I think, is based on, so, like, one person's ranking, or one person, like, someone who's young.
Okay.
I mean, I'm very
okay.
flattered to be on the list, but, like, there's people on the list under me, like William H. Macy and Philip Seymour Hoffman and Paul Giamatti, who I consider, you know, way above me, way above my pay scale, and I mean,
right.
but it's an honor to be grouped in with them. I mean, it'd be great. I could, you know, any of those, you know, is, you know, besides, you know, Mr. Hoffman, God rest his soul, but, you know, that I could play his kid, you know, like Paul Giamatti's kid or William H. Macy's kid or something, you know, and that would be a great role for me. But, you know, I don't feel like I'm on their plane yet, but there's definitely some actors in there that I think, you know, I'm definitely approaching their fame, you know, and it's great, and I'm glad to be grouped in as a character actor. You know, that's something that you have to accept and be proud of, is that you are, you know, if you're chubby, or if you're a little, you know, nerdy, or, you know, different character look, that you know, a different look than we're leading men, you're going to be grouped in this category, and it's a great category to start up, because you know who wins supporting actor nominations and Oscars? The character actor, most likely, is
right.
And nine times out of ten, that's who they give the awards to. So, I mean, that's a great honor to get, and it would be amazing to be recognized as that, you know?
Yeah, no matter how big the superstar is, you couldn't have, it's like Michael Jordan and Pippen and, I mean, you look at LeBron and his supporting cast. I mean, you have to have those character actors around you that, I mean, the Greg Kinnears
right.
and these guys that can kind of bring it home.
And just because you're a character actor doesn't mean you won't be a leading actor. Look at Melissa McCarthy. She's rising, you know, she's got her, like, movies almost every weekend she's like, she's got a movie coming out, you know, and she's like got, you know, and she's got this great big personality, and that's what, you know, draws the box office. And, you know, that's, it would be great just to, like, to have her type of drawing ability, you know. And Jonah Hill, I used to in my own mind have like a secret rivalry with Jonah Hill, because we have like kind of the same look and we have the same initials, and but you know, he kind of plays, you know, kind of not the nicest of characters. I'm always sweet and I'm always friendly. I'm also always, you know, caring, and but you know, I can't fault him. He's, you know, he's got multiple $1 million to his credit at box office, and you know, he's a great guy, and I'd love to work with him too. You know, so I'm just happy to be grouped along with everybody. You know, I'm just, you know, if people want to put me on a list and say I'm one of the greatest, that's beyond words. I thank them for their support, and just, you know, I definitely enjoy it. You know,
absolutely. I'm gonna switch back to Diana. So Diana, lately, what do you like better, producing or acting?
Actually, I love producing. I'll be honest, because there's something about being able to take something from its rawest form, and I know this sounds like a romantic and cliche to say, but to take it from its rawest form and to see it go beyond and putting the crew together, and you know, mm-hmm. having the opportunity to work with people like Michael Ray Escamilla, you know, I mean, because he's won like International Film Festival awards for his projects and so forth, you know, to be able to work with people like that is pretty cool. And in some ways, as a producer and a writer, you kind of get to be all the characters, like you're those characters first before you brought in the actors to audition for the part. And I'm sure Teresa would probably say the same thing. I loved my time acting. I got a deep love for acting in the theater, you know, because I graduated from the Duke Ellington School of the Arts in D.C. Yes. Right there in D.C. in Georgetown and Ellington, you know, it was like a great training ground, and you got that work ethic for the theater, and you take that theater work ethic and you put it towards film and television no matter what you're doing. And at Ellington, what was great about the education there is that we had to do everything, you know, writing, producing. You know, we had director's labs, you know, in a production, you could be on stage, the star of the production, in one production, and the next production, you're the guy running back and forth from backstage running, and also mm-hmm. have to run and make sure you're there to lift the curtains, you know, it's like, so you got a chance to do everything, and because of that, I think that's why I'm finding producing so exhilarating. And, you know, being able to do projects here in Los Angeles, in New York, in Louisiana, it's something different. And I think also for most people, when they think of the entertainment business, they do automatically think of that star-making thing, being front and center on screen. But there are a lot of amazing careers that are on the other side of it too. And, you know, as a black woman, like, you know, being able to have the opportunity to tell so many multifaceted stories, you know, about an Orthodox Jewish teenager, you know, about a social drama with Innocent Flesh, about, you know, young girls and sex trafficking, a romantic comedy about two unlikely people that would never, you know, get together. And I think there is something on the producing side that is also kind of maternal, because you're taking it from, like I said, from the very initial core of everything and just expanding it, and then there comes a time that you just got to let it go and just let it be.
Yeah, Yeah, and we're going to touch a little bit more on that in a little bit. But I got to, before I do that, though, Diane, I got to get back to Jesse. Now, word on the street is you play a character named, get ready for this, Spark Schwartz. Man, I love that name. Who is Spark Schwartz?
I'm not sure. What role are you talking?
Gumshoe.
I don't know. I don't know anything about that.
Huh. Okay. Well, I guess the word on the street was wrong. All right. Then what about what's going on with Sober Campaign?
Which one?
Sober Campaign.
Sober Campaign. I don't know what stuff. Is it on my MVP? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I won't hold it against you. You're pretty busy. I guess I'm owing two folks on that one.
Anyway, if we go back to Gumshoes, I think Gumshoes is a project that I was offered that we're still talking about it, but I think it's a film in New York I think I play someone who's like assisting someone in I think it's a detective story that I'm maybe going to shoot in September, but I haven't heard anything more about that yet.
Okay.
There's a couple of projects that are on my IMDb that how projects like to attach star names to projects to help them get
right,
funding.
Exactly.
They're just using my name. I don't know if any of them are going to get made. I don't know. You know, there's some going through veins that are not Kickstarters to try to get funding. I don't know if, like, some of these projects that are on there, I don't know if I'm going to actually ever see the
right,
actor
yeah.
get the script in my hand, you know. But it's great, you know, it's so great that they want to attach my name as someone to have in their film to be considered so they can get it made, you know.
Yeah, well, Jesse, your star is rising. What can I tell you? What can I tell you? So, Diana, I want to jump back to you. Tell me about 10 Men on the Field.
10 Men on the Field. It was a project that actually, ironically enough, it was like my last project as an actor. A couple of years ago, a friend of mine, Isabella Cascarano, who's an amazing Spanish actress, she does work both here in the U.S., she does in Spain, she does in Venezuela, she's just an amazing actress, and a friend of hers wrote the project basically about where baseball was heading, and it's basically all of the baseball owners sort of like manipulating the game from behind the scene, from the boardroom. And so they're calling the shots, but it's actually their assistants who are the real, they're almost like Svengalis. They're assistants who are really, you know, putting a charge of, like, and making sure that everything's done. And so that was one of those instances, like Jesse, where the role was offered to me. And I was like, okay, I'll do it. And it was really interesting. And my guy was from New York. So therefore I made the character choice that New York rules. Anything New York wants, that's what happens. And, you know, and I just basically empowered my character with that standpoint. And it was a fantastic shoot. And we actually got to shoot out at one of the training facilities. I believe it was either for the Dodgers or the A's. I can't remember which California team it was, but we got to go and shoot at their training facility, which was really awesome.
Wow, that's fantastic. So, Jesse, now, I've always wondered, this is a hypothetical. I'm going to throw a hypothetical at you. So that if you had stayed on the East Coast, how would your showbiz career have been different?
Well, when I was on the East Coast, I was not even I mean, the last time I lived on the East Coast, I was like 11. I was like 11 years old. So I don't think it was even in my mind yet. I think I was a kid, but you know, if I decide to maybe go to New York instead of LA, maybe I would. You know, I don't know if I would be. You know, I don't know if if it was. You know, nowadays, you know, there's a lot to work in New York. Lots of shows are filming in New York, but when I first started, I don't know if there was that many shows that were filming in New York exclusively. You know, maybe I could have gotten like extra work on like a soap opera or like, or you know, started. Maybe I would have gotten like a writing gig on some show, or I don't know. It would have been probably completely different. I probably would have started in a whole other venue. But you know, it's okay because I feel like, you know, things are meant to happen in life as they are. You know, life corrects itself. So even if I had maybe started in New York, maybe I would have realized, you know, maybe it's better for me to go to LA. So I think I would have eventually come out here anyways. You know, I think you know, I mean, it's kind of cliche for everyone to come to LA to get started in this career, but it's really the best place to start. You know, it's really the best basis for, you know, there's so much here, acting classes and training and all these different opportunities. You can do, you know, short films like this, or you can do like plays, or you can take improv comedy and become part of a troupe, or you can do stand-up comedy. I mean, there's so many, willing to be a mime. I mean, there's so many different aspects of with the best, and all which can help you get your career started. I feel like, you know, no matter where I started my career, I probably would have ended up here anyways.
Yeah, because I know you spent a little while in Austin too.
Yes, well, and Austin is a great town for filmmaking as well, and. You know, that's another place where I probably, you know, if I had stayed in Austin, I'd stayed in Texas, I probably could have found some sort of success within this industry, but not as much as, you know, I probably would have had to become a writer, which is what I wanted actually originally to become as a writer, and I wanted to become I've done some writing myself. I actually have me and a friend, we just wrote and finished a script called The Face that we're going to try to get that made too. So I mean, I have lots of things in the works.
Oh, good. That's good. We'll touch on that in a minute. But I got to, before we get off this phone, I got to ask Diana. Now, the word on the street is you were on All My Children. How did you book that gig?
nepotism.
Oh, okay. Nepotism. All right. Do tell.
My family has an association with Susan Lucci at the time, and I was in New York going to school, and basically because I went to Duke Ellington School of the Arts, and I graduated a theater major, but my brainiac side basically decided for college I would go into marketing and get a marketing degree rather than, you know, studying theater in college. And so basically that's, you know, why I was in New York initially was for college. But at the same time, when you're an artist, you want opportunities. You want to create. And I was doing small plays all over New York and off, way off Broadway.
Yeah.
You know, so off, you're all the way down in Battery Park, you know, type of stuff. But at the same time, you know, thankfully, you know, with family friends, they also knew, like, you know, sometimes it is a little bit of if someone's there and can give you a helping hand, you know, when you have special people in your life, they're willing to do that. I remember a quote I read one time from Denzel Washington, where someone asked about, you know, would he give his kids the same opportunities, you know, if he had a chance, you know, to give them a helping hand. And he said, of course I would give my, you know, I'm willing to give somebody else's kid a helping hand. Of course I would give my own kid a helping hand, too. And I'm just grateful that Susan was willing to help me along, because that was my first acting credit on television, and it got me into AFTRA. And from there, you know, parlayed into other parts and roles, and then eventually, you know, got me into SAG, you know, from doing movies and other television shows. So, yay, shout out. Thank you, Susan Lucci. And that's the other thing, too. If you know somebody, don't be afraid to ask. You know, you ask about, you said something about people, you know, going and going after their dreams. Don't be afraid to ask, because don't be afraid of that no, because there's a 50-50% chance that you won't get a no. You'll get a yes. And if you get a no, keep asking. It's not the end of the world getting no. It just means no doesn't mean never. It just means not right now. So keep going.
Keep going. Absolutely.
You can't be defeated by rejection. You got to keep it. Yeah, keep it moving, folks. Got to keep it moving.
And also know that I had to audition for that part. You know, that was a door that was open for me, but I had to get that part. I had to secure it on my own merit and effort. And it took a couple of auditions with the casting director over at All My Children before I did, you know, secure that part. So, yeah.
I have friends on Orange is the New Black and House of Cards and those roles. I mean, you got to audition sometimes half a dozen times or more. It's really crazy.
You know, what's funny is, like, you know what's funny is, like, you know, like, people like Tom Cruise and people that are Denzel Washington, they can wake up any morning and they can choose any role they want to play. I can't. I have to take every opportunity that's given to me, every chance, I have to upturn every stone and really work for my career. And up to this point, at least, you know, and now because of Teresa and because of Anna offering me this role, I feel it's getting a little easier each day, but it still is, there's a lot of work involved, you know.
That's
and everyone
right.
started from the same point. You know, Denzel was a drama student at one point, also working the, you know, pounding the pavement, you know, getting that part. And it's like that's where that whole, you know, you have to book the room, you know, going back to something Jesse said earlier, you have to. Because working with a few different casting directors, I've had instances where I've seen them, they're like, oh, wait, I remember this one guy that came in and auditioned for us 3 years ago. He's perfect. Let me pull out his stuff. know, and it's the truth of it. You have to leave them, you know, with something, not in a hungry, you know, scared sense, but in the sense where they have confidence in what you're capable of doing, if not for this project, for something else.
Absolutely. Okay, so we're getting down to about 9 minutes left. So, Diana, talk a little bit about all your projects you've got coming up and how fans can keep up with you.
Well, people can keep up with me on Facebook. I have, you know, you can follow me on Facebook. Right now, like, our biggest push right now is for the Shmooly Kickstarter campaign, because we really want to basically, you know, like I said, we're at 120. We want to keep going, and that's at www.kickstartshmooly.com. But you can also find it on the Shmooly Facebook page. Everything else as far as with the project Foo, It also has a Facebook page. I have another project that I'm working on called Within. That's an interesting story about a transgendered assassin. As you can see, I like getting stories from all over.
Oh, wow.
Place. And, you know, I would like also to take an opportunity to talk about some of the projects that are, you know, our director is working on. He has a project called Crescendo that was part of a picked up by Vanguard Entertainment, and it's currently in release, and that's Crusdndo. So please Google it and look it up. And then also, like right now with Teresa, there are a bunch of other projects that that because our collaboration is so great. You know, she's just, let me tell you about Teresa. Teresa is this tall, gorgeous blonde with the personality of sunshine. And she has the kookiest personality ever. We laugh all of the time and just get along great. So I'm looking forward to all of the collaborations that, you know, we have coming in the future. So also right now, with, you know, there are so many different, like, because of Shmooly, you know, we're, like, people are starting to find us through Shmooly, and that, and
yeah,
that's been fantastic and great. So, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. That's great. That's great. I mean, it sounds like it's one hand washes the other, you know, you just lift each other up, a rising tide lifts all boats, and as Jesse moves up, you and Teresa move up, and that's the way it works.
Exactly.
So now, Jesse, yep.
Oh, but, I was going to say, one good thing about collaboration is that on this project, you know, I'm Teresa's collaborator. Next project, Teresa's my collaborator. You know, so it's just fantastic.
Maybe you'll both collaborate on my project as well.
All right. So Jesse, you said you had a whole bunch of projects coming up, including some things that you're writing. So talk about that and how fans can keep up with you.
Well, yeah. So my fans can they know to follow me on Facebook at Jesse Haman, and Twitter Jesse Haman, and Instagram Jesse Haman, and and my website jessehaman.net. I have my friend Theodore and I, we wrote a script called The Fates, which is a coming-of-age story that deals with environmental issues and coming-of-age and a lot of cool intertwined genres. Kind of, you know, appeals to everybody, kind of, it's, you know, this small town where they have crop dusting, and this girl who gets very passionate about birds and wanting to save the birds, but also to grow up and become an adult and have dealing with, like, adult issues as well as kid issues. So it's got a lot of elements within its comedy. It's kind of but it's also drama. It's also got all these, like, different elements. So it's really a fresh idea, people have told us. So we're really excited about that. And then also, my documentary is still going. We're still filming, but we should wrap up sometime soon. And look forward to telling you more about that when I can tell you more about that, because there's parts of it that I can't even tell you about. And other than that, you know, Shmooly is the biggest project on the horizon. It's what I'm focusing 110% of my career towards right now. And hopefully, like they said, you know, it's going to become not just a short, it's going to become a feature, and that's all I have to look forward to. You know, hopefully it's going to be something that I can count on, you know, and something that's going to, you know, maybe, you know, 2 years from now we'll become about Shmooly 2, you know, who knows, you know, anything's possible.
I'd definitely love to see that. Well, I just really... Diana and Jesse, I really thank you for coming on the show. I think this has been a a fantastic interview. I definitely want to have you guys on again as things progress. And, Jesse, I know I would want to talk about your, not only Smooley, but your documentary. And, Don, I definitely want to talk about, hear more about the Chinese firefighter and his love down there in New Orleans and the whole thing. So it'd be great to have you on again as well. So, I mean, I'm just
Thank
really
you
pleased
having
that you
us.
Guys, yeah, that I'm really pleased you guys dialed in and really appreciate it. I thought we had a good time tonight.
Yeah, it was a great time. Thank you so much for bringing me back.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime, man. You're welcome anytime. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, well, again, thanks for coming on the show, and you guys have a blessed holiday weekend.
You too. Be safe, everybody.
Bye-bye. Okay, now. All right. Good night.
Good night.
And my dear listeners, let me leave you with this quote from Wayne Dyer. Stop acting as if life is a rehearsal. Like this day is your last day. The past is over and gone. The future is not guaranteed. Good night.
Dance.